Matthew chapter 6. Not going to have a Bible reading this morning. We're just going to get started, if that's okay. And because I want to be mindful of time. But our Bible reading is what you would expect. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Isn't it amazing that transgress against somebody hurting you in some way, sinning against you, is a debt? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We know that we should be praying. I hope that your prayer life has begun to improve, get more focused since we've begun looking at this prayer. Something that, you know, we know we're to be praying. He spoke to his disciples that we ought to always pray and not to faint. Don't quit. Keep praying. Paul reminds us that we should pray without ceasing. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us that we should boldly go before the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word, that help in time of need, that is one word that gives the idea of when you're going through something that makes you feel like crying out, that makes you understand that you're not all that, that makes you understand that you need Him. It's that time where you cry out, Lord, please help. Well, He's glad to hear that. And I'll tell you, looking at this first beginning of this really helped me to understand when we pray, we're not praying to a God that does not care, who's way afar off, who does not know what's going on in our lives. We're praying to a Father who's there and who is all-powerful. He cares and loves us. And really, when we think of that, it really changes the perspective. I know I can pray. I know I can bring even what other people might call silly things to the Lord. And He cares. You know, when your kids, they come up to you and they say, I got a boo-boo. You don't say, that's not a boo-boo. You care. And no matter what's going on with them, you, as a parent, you care. I realize you might have to say, toughen up sometimes. But as a father, He cares. And before we start asking, Lord, give me what I need this day. Before we start saying, Lord, please forgive me. And before we say, Lord, please deliver me from the tests, the trials, the temptations that come my way. We need to get something straight first. And that thing that we need to get straight is our relationship with God. We need to understand just exactly who He is and our responsibility to Him. We've already looked at hallowed be thy name. But we're to pray thy kingdom come. We are to pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, I know lots of times we bring a list this long of things that we want the Lord to do. When really, firstly, we need to understand who He is and that it's really about His kingdom, not ours. It's His kingdom that matters, not ours. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to think about His kingdom, and may I just mention that Paul got this right. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. He prayed three times that the Lord would take it away. He wanted this problem that he had, he wanted the Lord to just take it away. Prayed three times. The Lord said, no, not going to do it. But do you know what? Did you notice how he responded? And he said unto me, this is God speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul responds, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I can trust Him to help. So as we pray, as we come before the Lord in prayer, I hope that we will remember it's not really first about us. It's more about Him. So this morning, let's look at this phrase, Thy kingdom come. The word kingdom, the kingdom of God, is used almost 70 times. I'm not going to hit you with all those. It's used almost 70 times, 68 to be specific, in Scripture. But I will share with you some of the ones that really stood out to me as I was looking at this week. We've already sung this one. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we are to pray, Thy kingdom come. And we are to seek first His kingdom. Matthew 19 says, regarding a rich man that trusts in his riches, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He's trusting his money, not God. You remember the rich young ruler who, when the Lord said, give away everything you got and come follow me, and he walked away sorrowful because he had much. It's hard. Mark chapter 1, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Entering into God's kingdom means a change of direction. That's what the idea of repent means. It means to stop going your way, stop going towards sin, and do a 180 and start following the Lord. It's a change of heart, a change of mind. I love Joseph of Arimathea, and we'll be looking at him again in a minute. He was an honorable man and a counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. He was waiting for the Lord to set up His kingdom. He went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul, when he was ministering, Acts 14:22 says that he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The last one this morning. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's about someone that's living on the inside. So the first thing I want us to look at this morning is I want us to look at this verse from the outside. And I realize it's not very big. It's really small. Or this petition, this small petition. Let's look at it from the outside first and look at some descriptions of the prayer within a prayer. Some people have labeled this prayer as a prayer that some people pray without heart. A prayer that is prayed without heart. As in, people don't really mean what they're praying. You ever just spout off talking and you don't think about what you're saying? Well, when we are actually praying, "Thy kingdom come," one writer said this. Now, this is a fairly simple statement that any human being can make rather glibly. It's made by millions of times every year without any serious intention of having it happen. People pray it, but do not mean it. Why? Because actually, lots of times we're more concerned about our own kingdoms. We're wanting to build our own kingdoms up. It's about, one writer called it second kingdom building. We know God wants what He wants for us, but we've got our own plans. Said this is oftentimes a prayer without meaning. Let me ask, when we're singing those songs, are we making them our prayer? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are we thinking, well, Lord, am I seeking your kingdom? Am I putting you first more than stuff, more than relationships? And then I want you to notice it's a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. And you think, well, how in the world is praying, Lord, let your kingdom come? Let your kingdom be established in my life. Let what you want to be first place in my life. How can that be dangerous? Because this petition has the power to turn you, your life, upside down, to make you a very different than you have been. It can take a person to put his kingdom first. It can take a person who lives all about their own self and make them think about him. In fact, someone that is living for the Lord, someone who puts his will first, it's just a totally different view of life. When Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. Think like Christ thinks. The Lord wants us to be like Him. Then it gives great hope. Notice the fact that thy kingdom comes. Man, when we pray that, we're understanding that God is going to be present. He's with us. The guy that I'm quoting this from told about once when he was a kid that the British king was sending the Prince of Wales to live where they lived. And the fact that the Prince of Wales was actually going to live in their area, it just excited them. Well, you know what? When you trust Christ as Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He moves into your heart. How crazy amazing is that? The God who created the world lives in you. The God who could say to the storms and the raging wind, He says, "Peace, be still. You stop that." The writer says, when there steals over our spirit an acute awareness that God does, in fact, choose to reside within us, it's not nearly so difficult to vacate the throne of our lives in His favor. Then I want you to notice some conflicts. Just looking at this verse from the outside, some conflicts in this prayer within a prayer. He says there that Thy kingdom come, and we've mentioned it. It's not our kingdom come, it's His kingdom. It's Him building His kingdom through us and in life and in the future. How much do we like to have things our way? How much are we used to things going our way? Well, there's times that the Lord may say, "Well, I don't want you to do things your way. I want you to do things my way." For example, forgiving someone that's hurt your feelings, forgiving someone that's done the wrong thing by you, it makes no total sense in our physical flesh to let that debt go. Except the fact that it's better on our body. But He says for us to forgive those debts. Doing things His way. When all is said and done, one writer said, most of us from our earliest childhood believe that we're the king of our own castle. We determine our own destinies. We arrange our own affairs. We govern our own lives. We become supreme specialists in selfish, self-centered living. Where all of life revolves around the epicenter of me, I, and mine. Remember, when I trusted Christ as Savior, that's one of those things that the Lord really convicted me of, is, and I know I still have that tendency, was of my self-centeredness, it was all about me, when really it's not. It's all about Him. Then I want you to notice there's those conflicts. There's always going to be that battle. Well, is it His kingdom or my kingdom? Am I going to do things the way He wants me to do things, or am I going to do things the way I want to do things? Then I want you to notice some challenges in this prayer. He says, "Thy kingdom come." In some ways, the kingdom wasn't there yet. How good are you at waiting? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, now they wanted to know, tell us when you're going to set up your kingdom. In our Bible reading this morning, they did too, didn't they? They said, Lord, you're risen now, all good. When are you coming back? When are you going to set up this thing to where we're going to always be victorious? They were tired of waiting. Joseph of Arimathea, who came and got the body of Jesus, says he was an honorable man who also waited for the kingdom of God. How do we go at waiting? Well, we're waiting for the Lord to come back. It says in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. We're waiting for His Son from heaven. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus to return. And He's coming back, by the way. He's promised. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So this teaches us that the Lord, Thy kingdom come. Lord, when's the Lord coming back? I don't know. The disciples, Christians, early Christians, they used to meet one another with not a hello, how you going? They used to meet each other with a Maranatha. It's a Syriac word that means this: the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. But until the Lord comes, what are we going to do? Let me ask, how are you at waiting? Not just for the Lord's return, but for whatever the Lord's testing you in. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And I love when they tell us again. In Psalm 27, 14, 7 verses down, he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How do you go at waiting? I know when we pray, we want the Lord to answer right then. Brother, Mr. Howard, he said this, not John, but a different one. Betty's husband, a teacher in her early 60s, just lost his job. They aren't financially ready for retirement, but few schools want to hire a teacher who is over 60. Betty is praying, Lord, what are you going to do? Grace and her husband are both eager for a baby. It's taken longer than she would like. She has a history of thyroid problems, and it's possible that this will affect her ability to conceive. What do we do when we have to wait on Him? Catherine has cerebral palsy. She's been relatively independent for most of her life, but now she's wheelchair-bound and has recurring problems with a wound on her foot that will not heal. We're ready to be healed, Lord. We're ready to go forward, Lord. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready. Thy kingdom come. Lord, show Your power. We have to trust Him. But I love this too. Notice the comfort in this prayer. The Lord tells us to pray this prayer. He says, I want you to pray thy kingdom come. Lord, may your kingdom be established. May your will be done. May we see your glory. It's like a foundation that we can rest on. It's something that we can know is going to happen. It gives us hope. Looking forward to this day, we should be filled with hope, regardless of how our present circumstances look. So this morning, as you look at this verse from the outside, I know there's challenges, I know there's the troubles, I know there's all these things, but Christ says, you know what? That kingdom is going to be established. His kingdom will be established. And then secondly, this morning, I want us to look on the inside. A look on the inside. Thy kingdom come. Now we all know, or we know that there is a certain, when it says thy kingdom come, there is a certain aspect that the Lord is always ruling. The prayer is that the Lord will rule, that He will be in first. Psalm 103:19 says, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He's looking down. He's looking down on us all, just watching us. And He's in control. So there is that aspect. We understand that. Another Psalm. Psalm 47:78, for God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. God is in control. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar's son, this matter is by the decree or Nebuchadnezzar decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will. He really is in control, but wait, not everything in some ways. It says, Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, that is Christ. For in that He hath put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him. In other words, He hadn't. We're not to the end yet. Just wait. So yeah, there's that general idea that He's always over everything, and we can rest in that verse that says, and we know that all things work together for good. We can rest in that. There are two distinct parts of God's kingdom. First off, there's the prophetic future aspect. And then there's the present personal aspect. So there's, when He says, thy kingdom come, one day the Lord's going to come back. The Lord Jesus, we're waiting for Him. He's going to come back. The rapture, tribulation period, He comes back, sets up His throne, and for 1,000 years He reigns. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. He will set up His eternal kingdom. He will one day. The disciples ask in our Bible reading this morning, Lord, when are You going to do that? And He said, you know what? It's not for you to know. You just be a witness. you serve, you be faithful, you keep following, you keep trusting. One day every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow. And then, it's not only future, but it's present. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Christ sets up, yes, he will set up his throne one day, but you know what? He comes into us. He sets up his throne in our lives, and he, through his Holy Spirit, guides, he leads, he governs. In fact, Paul says in Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And the idea is that if you have Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you have the King. And He desires righteousness, right living in our lives. That's how we demonstrate that we have Him in our lives. Not working your way to heaven, not at all. But we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If someone says, "Yeah, I've been a believer all my life," and they don't care one thing for God, really? Leads to righteousness. Secondly, it leads to peace. The fact that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what comes our way, no matter what's happening, that should give us, as the writer in Isaiah says, perfect peace. That we can trust Him. And then it should give us joy that He lives within us, that He is with us always. Maranatha, our Lord comes. And I hope two things this morning. First of all, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die today, do you know for certain you'd go to heaven when you die? I'll tell you what, I hope you could say yes. And let me share a Bible reason that I know that. I hope you can do that. I hope you can say, "This is why I know, because this is what it comes down to. This is our solid rock." Do you have Christ living in you? Is His kingdom within? You must be born again. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Would love to help you know Him. Secondly, whose kingdom are you building this morning? Whose kingdom are you building? You know, don't know about you, but there's times I get things in my head that I've got to do things my way. And I go about it and I go about it and I do things my way, and it's just not what's going to work. Whose kingdom are you building this morning? Thy kingdom come. So this morning, Whose kingdom are you building? Secondly, do you know Christ as your Savior? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that Christ is coming again one day. We have that promise, that surety. Thank you that we know, that we know, that we know that His word is true. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to rest in that. And Father, if there's some today that don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, do not have the Holy Spirit living within, that they would come to know you as Savior today. I pray that you would help us, Lord, that know you as Savior, not to be building our own kingdoms. And when we see that we are, when we're doing things our way, in our family, at work, at school, when we're just living our own lives and not caring about what you want for us, help us to be willing to change. This is a dangerous petition. It'll change us if we're really willing to do things your way. So help us, Lord, to evaluate, to look, and just see whose kingdom are we building and what that kingdom is. Is it pleasing to you? So, Father, I pray that you'd be glorified in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.